Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. Now, last week, Pastor Reynolds started on the topic of death by reading Psalms chapter 23. And this week, we'll be picking up where he left off on the same topic. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 23 as we turn the message over to Brother Reynolds.
Psalms 23, verse 4 states, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." This morning, we'd like to give you some hope concerning your upcoming death. Every person is going to face death one of these days. That's just the way it is. But if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you what, your death is not like the death of anyone else. Your death is not like those that do not believe in Christ. Notice the Bible says, "Yea, though I walk." The scripture here does not say that you will run. The scripture doesn't say that you're going to stumble or that you're going to trip or that you're going to fall, but it is a leisurely stroll. It is a place that we go. Every person must come to this valley. Notice that the Bible says that we're going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Read again. Psalms 23 and verse number 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." The Bible doesn't say that we shall walk to the valley of the shadow of death. No, the Bible says we're going to walk all the way through the valley of the shadow of death. This is a great, marvelous promise that God has given to us. It's not because that we are good. Rather, it is because God has been very good to us. Notice again, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." A valley. That is just a low place with a rise on either side. The truth is that the lost do not go into a valley, but the lost go into a pit called hell, from which they can never, ever get out. But we that are saved, we go into the valley of the shadow of death. For the saved, you see, even though there is a low place, there is also a rise on the other side, and the rise on the other side is called heaven. That is where we're going to spend all eternity. Look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse 1 and verse 2. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Christ went through a very low place when he took our place on the cross of Calvary. But there was a higher place on the other side of the valley, and I'm so very thankful that Jesus Christ has died that I might have life. Jesus Christ is now sitting on the right hand of his Father, and Jesus Christ is now interceding for us. Whenever we sin, we can ask Jesus to forgive us, and he always does. It's a marvelous, wonderful thing that he has done for us. This is the valley of the shadow of death. This is not death itself. The believer will never experience death like the lost experience death. In Psalms 73 and verse 3 and verse 4, the Bible says here, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm." In Psalm 73, the prophet here is looking at the people that are lost and looking at all the confidence that they have in this world. The Bible says that they begin to come to the place that they don't even think about God or about holiness or about rightness at all. but they simply think about what they are going to do. The Bible said they become very corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. The Bible says that they speak loftily. The Bible even goes on to say that they set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. They think, because everything is going fine for them now, they don't understand the thing that's going to happen to them shortly after death. They don't understand that there's no way out of this chasm that they fall into. They don't understand that they're going to run headlong into death, and that they're going to be annihilated because of that. Look in the book of Job, chapter 21. In Job 21, the Bible here speaks about the ones that are lost. The Bible says they spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. This is what happens to those that are lost. They think that everything is going along just fine right now, and everything is well with them. They have houses, they have homes, they have jobs, they have all kinds of connections that they're making to make them more money. But notice what the Bible says. They say unto God, depart from us. I'm reading in Job chapter 21 and verse number 14. They say, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. They say in verse number 15, what is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? That's what they say. But there's coming a time when the lost will be tormented because they have now laughed at death. But sudden calamity comes upon them, but it is too late for them to ever turn back. Death is different for the saved and for the lost. I know some lost people believe that the saved do not die, but I don't believe that. I believe the saved and the lost both die. But the death of the saved is vastly different from the death of the lost. The shadow of death is on the ground of the valley, but the saved do not go through death as the lost go through death. The lost simply go to the rock of death, and they smash into it, and there they are totally destroyed. But the saved go through the shadow of the rock of death, which shadow is nothing but a cool place from the heat that the sun would give them. Why is all that? Why is there such a difference? The difference is not because of men, but the difference is because Christ has paid for the death of those that are saved. And those that are lost, they have trusted themselves. They have trusted their own works. They're trusting anything else but Christ. And so they face this eternal calamity when it comes. Notice in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 17 and verse 18. Death could not hold our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Listen, Jesus Christ has died that people could be saved if they simply repent of who they are, if they repent of what they are, if they just recognize that they don't have anything at all to give to God. God can touch them, and God can grant unto them everlasting life. God can do this even for you right now. Jesus Christ can wash away all your sins. He has already shed his own blood on the cross of Calvary for you. You can be saved today if you just trust him. Notice what the Bible states in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 4. The Bible here makes it very clear that he was buried and that he arose again the third day according to the Scripture. Jesus Christ has already died. He's already been in the grave. He's already come out of the grave. He's already resurrected. And now he says unto you, come unto me, and he will wash away all your sins. In Romans 1 and verse 4, Christ demonstrated the victory that he has over death by the resurrection. When he said, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." Jesus Christ has done something that no man could ever do. Jesus Christ has died. And Jesus Christ has been buried to prove to all the world that this Savior has died. But listen, Jesus Christ is not dead still. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead by His own power, by His own might. And Jesus Christ is now sitting in heaven, and there He is waiting for us. What a wonderful story this is. The Bible even declares in Revelation 1, verse number 8, that Jesus Christ carries the keys of the grave with Him at all times. Notice what the Bible says. "I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Jesus Christ is the only one that's died that sinners could be saved. He died, He was buried, but He arose again from the dead. There is victory in Jesus Christ, and Christ calls all men now from death. The Bible says in the book of John 5, verse 28 and 29, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Listen, which one are you going to be in? Today, if you're lost, I pray that you might come to Jesus Christ, because only Christ can wash away all of your sins. Only Jesus Christ can forgive you of all that you've done against Him. Just ask Christ to save your unworthy soul, and He will do just exactly that.
If you missed the broadcast last week, be sure and log into our website at independencebaptist.org and go to the audio section. From this site, you'll be able to listen to many of the prior broadcasts, including the one from last week, where Pastor Reynolds started this message about death. Now, if you're lost and you'd like to learn more about being saved, then on that same website, there's an articles section, and you can check out the article on how to be saved, or another good one for you to read would be How Christ Saved Me. Now, if you are saved and you've been looking for a church, then if you'll check out the online book section of our website, you'll want to take a look at the book that's titled What to Look For in a Church. And then earlier this month, we had our annual Bible Institute, and we had Brother Mel Kimberlin and Brother Jonathan Bush as guest speakers. Now, what we do is each time we have this Bible Institute or special services, we have a section of the website where we'll put those online messages out there for people. So if you have a chance, go to that audio section of the website and review the section called Annual Bible Institute, or the section called Special Services, and then from there you'll be able to listen to many of the prior institutes and special services that we've had, and there's some really good messages directly out of God's Word. Now, we do make all this available on the website, but you're also welcome to come and join us personally. Now, each Sunday we meet for Sunday morning services at 10 a.m. with Sunday school and 11 a.m. worship services. And then on Sunday afternoons, we all come back together for a prayer meeting at 3:45 and worship services then at 4:30. And of course, during the week, we also meet for a Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. And if you've never been to our building, it is located at 124 South Main Street in Forestell, Missouri, which is right at about a half a mile off of Interstate 70 there at exit 203. Well, looking at the clock, I can see that our time is just about up this morning, but we do want to thank you for listening and ask that you join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.